I woke before dawn, as was my long-time habit. Ordinarily, I would just lie there a while, listening to the sounds of morning. The rising chorus of birds, the heavy, erratic bat-plink of dew dripping from the tree onto rooftops and street stones. This time, however, the urge for a different sort of morning overtook me, so I rose and went in search of my house guest. He was in the den, rather than the small storage pantry where he slept. I felt him there the instant I stepped out of my room. He was like that, filling the house with his presence, becoming its center of gravity. It was easy, natural really, to let myself drift to wherever he was. I found him at the den window. My house had many windows, a fact I often lamented since they did me no good and made the house drafty. I couldn't afford to rent better. The den was the only room that faced east, however. That did me no good either, and not just because I was blind. Like most of the city's denizens, I lived in a neighborhood tucked between two of the World Tree's stories-high main routes. We got sunlight for a few minutes at mid-morning, while the sun was high enough to overtop the roots, but not yet hidden by the tree's canopy, and a few more moments at mid-afternoon. Only the nobles could afford more constant light. Yet my house guest stood here every morning as regular as clockwork if he wasn't busy or dead. The first time I'd found him doing this, I thought it was his way of welcoming the day. Perhaps he made his prayers in the morning, like others who still honored Bridie Tempest. Now I knew him better. If one could ever be said to know an indestructible man who never spoke. When I touched him on these occasions, I got a better sense of him than usual, and what I detected was not reverence or piety. What I felt, in the stillness of his flesh, and the uprightness of his posture, and the aura of peace that he exuded at no other time, was power, pride, whatever was left of the man he'd once been. Because it was clearer to me with every day that passed that there was something broken, shattered, about him. I did not know what or why, but I could tell he had not always been like this. He did not react as I came into the room and sat down in one of the chairs, wrapping myself in the blanket I'd brought against the house's early morning chill. He was doubtless used to me making a show of his morning displays, since I did it frequently. And sure enough, a few moments after I got comfortable, he began again to glow. The process was different every time. This time, his eyes took the light first, and I saw him turn to glance at me as if to make sure I was watching. I had detected those little hints of phenomenal arrogance in him at other times. That done, he turned his gaze outward again, his hair and shoulders beginning to shimmer. Next, I saw his arms, as muscled as any soldier's, folded across his chest, his long legs braced slightly apart. His posture was relaxed, yet proud, dignified. I had noticed from the first that he carried himself like a king, like a man long used to power, who had only lately fallen low. As the light filled his frame, it grew steadily brighter. I squinted, I loved doing that, and raised a hand to shield my eyes. I could still see him, a man-shaped blaze now framed by the jointed lattice of my shadowy hand bones. But in the end, as always, I had to look away. I never did this until I absolutely had to. What was I going to do? Go blind? It didn't last long. Somewhere beyond the eastern root wall, the sun moved above the horizon. The glow faded quickly after that. After a few moments, I was able to look at him again, and in 20 minutes, he was as invisible to me as every other mortal. When it was over, my house guest turned to leave. He did chores around the house during the day and had lately begun hiring himself out to the neighbors, giving me whatever pittance he earned. I stretched, relaxed, and comfortable. I always felt warmer when he was around. "Wait," I said, and he stopped. I tried to gauge his mood by the feel of his silence. "Are you ever going to tell me your name?" More silence. Was he irritated or did he care at all? I sighed. "All right," I said. "The neighbors are starting to ask questions, so I need something to call you. Do you mind if I make something up? He sighed, definitely irritated. But at least it wasn't a no. I grinned. All right, then. Shiny. I'll call you Shiny. What about that? It was a joke. I said it just to tease him, but I will admit that I'd expected some reaction from him, if only disgust. Instead, he simply walked out, which annoyed me. He didn't have to talk, but was a smile too much to ask for? Even just a grunt or a sigh? Shiny it is, then, I said briskly, and got up to start my day.